Morning.
Morning, Sensei.
I wrote a Dharma talk, then I decided to put it aside and not give a Dharma talk. Then I decided that I would just do it off on the cuff, as they say. And now I'm back to giving the Dharma talk. And my concern was I didn't want to interfere with the spontaneity of the circle. But I also thought that sort of a prelude to how it would work, I probably should say some words. So, my Dharma name is Genjo, which means original silence. And that always seems to be the way that I tip, you know, to keep my mouth shut. So, I'm going to go against my Dharma name this morning. So, this is my opinion. And I'm saying it that way for reasons that I will talk about in a little bit. So my opinion is that because of the way Trump ran his campaign, that is, with anger, belittlement, bold-faced lies, prejudice, lack of compassion, belligerence, favoring the wealthy, and extreme narcissism, because of that, it's my opinion that he managed to divide our country even more than it was, and probably dramatically. And as I think we all know, before Trump appeared on the scene, there were already tears in the American fabric. Racism towards African-American people continued, and this is evidenced but not limited to the recurring use of unnecessary lethal force against black men by the police, racism against people of color in general, fear and misunderstanding of Muslim Americans, the glass ceiling for women continued, sexual assault of women continued as well, prejudice and sometimes physical and emotional violence against the LGBT community exists even today, and a variety of other social and economic injustices continue. It's my opinion that Trump's campaign played on these issues, bringing out the worst of America. Instead of running a campaign of unity and healing, he not only legitimized prejudice, but gave permission to act it out. He created an us versus them. Now remember, this is my opinion. It's my opinion that many of us believe that we know the truth about Donald Trump and the people that voted for him. Now, my original teacher was Bernie Glassman, who, after a long and winding path, gave up the formal title of teacher and became a social activist. And on numerous occasions, Bernie has said that nobody has the truth, that it's just their opinion, which is why I started out that way. In fact, he once said that the four noble truths should be renamed the four noble opinions. And when we believe that our view is the truth, we are very unlikely to listen to somebody else's truth. Truth is an absolute. It really can't be debated. If, on the other hand, we have an opinion and someone else has a different opinion, we are more likely to listen to each other than if we believe that we know and hold the truth. So I think that when people understand the difference, they probably have a greater chance of reconciliation. Now, just a couple of things that I came across, which I thought fit in here, and also fit in because of my own opinions about what has taken place. The first thing that I did was I sought out as many of these TV and radio discussions where people who supported Trump talked about why they did. And I had a very difficult time listening to them without turning them off. And my assignment to myself was to practice what I preach, to not believe that I held the truth and the folks that I was listening to were misguided. And it was extremely difficult to do that. So to hold an opinion versus the truth, for me, is not easy. Then I listened to an NPR discussion, and I believe it was six women, three who voted for Trump and three who voted for Hillary Clinton. They discussed with a moderator the reasons why. And I was really impressed by this discussion because it was not hateful. It was not argumentative. The people, the women, seemed actually friendly toward the people that held a different opinion than themselves. And it really came across as an example of the difference between having the truth and having opinions in terms of having a dialogue. Now, you know, from my take on this, nobody's mind was changed. But there also, the discussion didn't create a division between the women. Then there was another, I don't remember the state, somewhere in the Midwest, there's a woman who's the mother of three kids. And one of those kids is handicapped. Her husband was killed in the Iraq War. And the company that she works for is closing down. And personally, she's terrified about how she will continue to be able to take care of her kids. She's mortified by the prospect of having to go on welfare. And she feels abandoned by her government. So it should not be surprising that she would overlook Trump's serious flaws and put her faith, this is for me again, this is my opinion, it should not be surprising that she would overlook Trump's serious flaws and put her faith in him because he was promising that he would not forget the middle class, that he would change the way the country goes about its economic business and would provide thousands of new jobs. I believe that she felt that he was talking to her and that he would make America great again and doing so relieve her suffering. And I also believe that she was not an isolated example, that she was not alone, that her situation spoke for many people. Now it's also my opinion that I think that most of us move in the world lost in some way. We're just trying to find our way home. Whether we're looking for a partner to find meaning in life or a job that will help us feed our family, not all of us on that path are ignorant or bigoted. We're just looking for a way home. So having said all of this, I will speak personally. I was literally shocked. I did not want to stay up all night to find out who was going to win the election. But I did get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I had my cell phone by the bed. And I went online, and it said, it was a picture of Trump, and it said, President Trump. And it was like, needless to say, I didn't sleep for the rest of the morning. So shocked that billionaire Donald Trump would be our next president. And following this recognition, and I say I was shocked, it didn't last for a few minutes. It was really like, you know, of course, the process of talking to friends would begin, and people that are usually upbeat were like, you know, seemed like they had major depression. And so I didn't really pay attention to what I was going through personally right away. And I slowly realized that I was experiencing a cavalcade, if that's the right use of the word, of emotions. Anger, sadness, despair, fear, hopelessness. But it wasn't long before I realized that the name for what I was going through was grief. And I have told myself, okay, I told myself that the country I knew was going to die. It was going to be replaced by something unthinkable, at least for me. I felt anger and despair for those whose daily lives are marginal and who don't have resources and support. Sadness because we will be going in a direction which will not encourage healing, but encourage divisiveness. So I asked myself, what's next? And I thought about this, and I thought that if I stayed in a place of helplessness, I would just allow myself to become a victim. If I stayed in a place of anger, then that anger would define who I was. It would change my basic personality. It was easy to think that, but less easy to not surrender to those emotions. Now, one definition of grief that I always found helpful was, grieving is talking about your loss or your losses over and over and over again till everybody you know is sick of hearing about it. But the truth in there is that human beings need to process the loss. They need to talk about it. They need to speak it out. And the other thing is they need a witness. They need somebody there who is willing to listen to what we are going through as we grieve. So, because this has been my process, all of these different things going into the bucket, and feeling, again, like I said, somewhat helpless, I thought that maybe one of the first steps that I could take was to offer a practice circle that would be an over and over and over again place. And I created in my mind, and also took some from the Peacemaker Order, created by Bernie Glassman, to set some guidelines. So the first thing is, this is not going to be a debate, but what I hope we can do is create a safe container for each one of us to talk about the impact, if any, of the elections. And keeping a safe space means, if somebody is a pro-Trump supporter, that person should be received in exactly the same way as somebody like myself, who it was a nightmare to find out that he's going to be the president. So the Zen Peacemaker Order has three principles, and I've asked that we could follow these. First principle is not knowing. And that means leaving preconceptions, truths, rights and wrongs outside, right? We empty ourselves of those things so that we are just present to receive, not to filter, not to judge, but just receive with an open mind what each of us has to say. So that's the first principle, not knowing. The second principle is bearing witness. And I came across a quote by Maya Angelou who said, "There is no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside of you." So bearing witness is being fully present to listen to each other's story about their experience of this event. And we focus on listening and receiving what another person thinks and feels. Right? So we are like this, with open arms, right? Willing to receive even opinions that are not our opinions. And then the third thing is, and it doesn't necessarily happen here, but these are the principles of the Peacemaker Order. Hopefully, not knowing and bearing witness leads to compassionate action. So as a result, we may find a way that we, individually, can work compassionately on behalf of ourselves and others in this situation. So anyway, thank you for listening to this. I hope it's helpful.